Bless you.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has created the heavens and the earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us continue, congregation, with the singing of Psalter 139, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all. From rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call. 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 139. scripture reading this afternoon will be from the prophet Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah 1. But we will first make confession with the Church of all ages, with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Till so far the reading of God's word. Let us seek the Lord's help and countenance in prayer. Lord Almighty and Eternal, Thou who in the way of Thy great goodness and forbearance dost grant that we may gather within the walls of Thy house in this afternoon, then it is before Thy holy countenance that we seek to draw near by renewal. When Thy word and testimony has been read, and where Thou dost separate us from all that goes on every side, Lord, truly Thou dost make a difference where there is no difference. But that needs to be more than in an outward way, for we may separate ourselves and gather within the walls of Thy house. But it is now so needed for each one, traveling to an eternity, that the word may enter effectually into our hearts, and there to turn unto Thee, and there to draw, Lord, to be led by Thee, to be instructed, to be taught, to be uncovered and discovered to self, and our existence before Thee as frail dust, and to be pointed unto that only foundation in and through the merits of Thy dear Son. And yet, Lord, when Thou dost open the doors of Thy house, it is a testimony that Thou wilt yet labor with our souls to eternity, that we may be given to understand it in truth. For Thou knowest how we sit or stand here. Then the thoughts can be many. There may be those who could not come up to Thy house, who perhaps had a true desire to be there. And over against it, there can be those who are in Thy house, who perhaps had no desire. But Lord, each heart must then be conquered by the irresistible power of Thy Spirit, and that it may then please Thee to condescend yet in our midst also in this afternoon, and then to go from heart to heart, from pew to pew. For, Lord, we have turned our back. That remains an eternal truth. But, Lord, there is no heart to heart for Thee, and there is a people who shall testify of that wonder, where Thou didst in Thy time take reasons out of Thyself, there to open the eyes spiritually, and there to grant them to see that path of destruction that they had chosen. Lord, wilt Thou arise yet for Thine own name's sake, and that more of those living stones may yet be brought and pointed toward that only foundation, also in the afternoon of this day. May it be from among young and old. Thou knowest also the youth of the congregation, the children. Lord, then they are young, but they are not too young for Thee. And then it is that best time also for them to seek that only portion, that they may yet be given that earnest desire also within the heart, and that Thou wouldest yet draw them unto Thyself, to add yet amongst them, and to build from amongst them Thy Zion. For therein does lie the future of the church also here upon earth, in as long as it shall exist. And Lord, may it be granted also in this place, the youth also in the midst of the times in which it has pleased thee to place us with our families, together as fathers and mothers, Lord, that we would not raise them for the world. Thou knowest the many subtle influences that can be there, that as parents we may be given discernment and discretion, and a life close to thy unerring word and testimony, and that we may be given to guide our dear youth and children also aright. Wilt thou then draw there also unto thyself the fathers, the mothers, those in the strength of life. Grant health and strength day by day in our daily labors, but may they often be also in the inner chamber, beseeching that better portion, to be loosed, Lord, from the things of time and of sense, and to be pointed unto thee, that the things of time may receive in that way their insignificance over against that necessity to meet thee. We remember also those who are lonely, widows, widowers also, those with special cares and burdens in this life, crosses perhaps known or unknown, that can be in family life, that can be in married life, but Lord, they are not hidden from thee. And that they may then be given to lay them in all simplicity before thee, and that an access unto the throne might yet be given in the inner chamber, that the ways may be sanctified. Remember also the elderly in the evening of life, strengthen and prepare them. And so the needs, the cares, they shall ever remain. They are a testimony of paradise that we shall carry with us. But then there was also reasons to acknowledge thee in the midst of the congregation, where thou hast gladdened in the midst, where a child was given, so far as we may know, in good health. Wilt thou remember then father and mother there also, strengthen and uphold, grant renewed strength, and may they be given to end in thee. May it be one known of thee, Lord, born to be born again. And so also land and nation we seek to lay it before thee. And Lord, then we may often wonder, what shall we pray? And what shall we ask, when it is so to be feared that more and more thou dost leave us over to ourselves, where thy commands and thy words and thy statutes, they are trampled upon and openly disdained. But may it be in wrath, remember mercy, and that there may yet be a return that is impossible from man's side, that is true. But, Lord, that thou wouldest yet grant it, and that we may not look so to our leaders, Lord, but that we may each be given to look within at the root cause thereof which does reveal itself there, and that there may be a turning also amongst the people. For as a nation, the leaders are but a reflection of what we desire as men. Wilt thou bring us in the true guilt therein? And so for thy church over the length, over the breadth of the earth, wherever it may gather in truth, wilt thou yet undergird thy servants, uphold them, and grant that there may yet be an outpouring also in the midst of the many places to the ingathering of that number which thou hast purchased, that they may be given to be brought in under the irresistible work of thy Spirit, And could it be also in the midst of thy chosen nation, the Jewish people, the beloved for the Father's sake? We have read it in this morning, and in a moment 3,000 were added. And Lord, that is still possible also in this day, that the veil be removed and that they be brought in a moment, and then the end shall come, when thou shalt receive that crowning glory upon thy word, and that thy living Zion then here also below may by moments be given with an earnest expectation and a well-founded hope to look unto that end, that portion, when thou shalt be all in all. We think also on the mission team in Bolivia, those who may labor there, the young family also out of our own flock which thou hast placed there. Wilt thou grant them together with thy servants who may labor there what they stand in need of week by week? Could it be also from time to time a word for their own soul? But above all, that they may be used as instruments in thy hand. Lord, so often in the office we rise above it, but oh, to be emptied. And then to be used, Lord, by thee, that is a way against flesh and blood. And yet it is that best place if thou wilt grant it. Wilt thou so remember then thy servants also, in the midst of our denomination where they labor in this day, that they may receive strength and wisdom from above, discernment, the rich opening of thy word, many of them in the climbing of the years, grant them strength for the labors they are called to, and that it may please thee also in this coming season who yet thrust out laborers into thy vineyard. Wilt thou then remember the curatorium when they hope to meet? Lord, may it be carried also in the midst of the congregations, for they are such weighty decisions that are laid upon the shoulders of men. And who then is sufficient thereto? But Lord, that thou wouldest grant them the wisdom that they need, the discernment. And could it be light from above to guide and to direct them? And if it may be to gladden yet by thy deeds also amongst us. And so also for thy servant who may be here in this afternoon hour. Lord, thou knowest the heart, that thou mightest yet also open thy word and testimony, that thy Zion may yet hear their life explained. Lord, that it be not merely words which must come forth, but that thou wouldest yet grant that the inner life may yet be proclaimed from the housetop, that thy people may receive food for their souls. It is ever a poor and a needy people in and of self. But Lord, wilt thou against all expectation also for them in this afternoon grant them but a crumb from the Master's table, that they may receive the opening there to look upon him for a moment, who is altogether lovely, who is the chiefest among 10,000, that they may be given a moment of rest in thy house. Lord, then they have courage to go into a new week. Wilt thou so go before us? Wilt thou grant the matters in the heart, the words upon the lips, that there may be empty vessels, Lord, which must be filled, that thy servant may be made an empty vessel, borne upon the wings of thy people, also in the midst of this place. Help also thy servant who may labor here, Lord, where he labors also in this afternoon. Wilt thou grant him strength also in the midst of this congregation to bring forth thy word and may his labors be richly blessed to the upbuilding of thy kingdom and to the extension of that number that no man can number, but which thou art yet gathering. Look upon us in mercy, we ask it. In Jesus' name alone. Amen. We continue with the singing of Psalter 308, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. Though nations fail thy power to own, yet thou dost reign, and thou alone. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 308. Dear congregation, the Lord had spoken unto Ananias that he was to go into that street which is called Straight, and to inquire in the house of one called, in the house of Judas for one called Saul. For behold, he prayeth. And we know the great fear which he had, but upon those words, for behold, he prayeth, he went forth. And can that also be testified in your life and in my life? Is that also recorded of you, my dear traveler to eternity, children, youth? For behold, he prayeth. Is there a testimony where perhaps your spouse could speak of a time he prayeth? Or perhaps a friend youth? Or perhaps a room in your home or in your business that could speak of it, or farmer upon the field? A place which could also testify of those times. Behold, he prayeth, those first fruits of the work of the Spirit in the heart. And no, then it is not so important what the opinion of a man is about it. I realize that, congregation. And neither is that people seeking the approval of a man thereon, not at all. Then I think of the psalmist of Psalm 56. He said, Thou, Lord, Thou tellest all my wanderings. He could testify of how the Lord knew of those places whereunto he had to flee, that inner chamber by moments where the heart had to be poured out of necessity. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not within thy book? It is the uttering of those sighs of one who is prayerless in and of themselves, one who is so ignorant in that way of grace and in how the Lord leads now his people. And then it is that life of prayer, a congregation that becomes, as it were, that lifeline between the Lord and their soul. Between the Lord and a lost one who no longer knows the way. And there can be much prayer, and there ought to be much prayer. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication make your needs known unto God. But congregation, true prayer, that now is that mark of that quickening work of the Spirit within the heart. And the Lord can use different means to drive out in that matter of true prayer. But that heart's need, that will be recognized by all those who are no stranger of that life of prayer. And of that we desire to consider with you also in this afternoon hour. Out of that portion we have read together out of Jonah 1. And we take thereof verse 14. Jonah 1, verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. We place beneath these words by way of theme the sailor's prayer in distress. And in the first place we consider the cause of this prayer, wherefore they cried unto the Lord. In the second place, the plea in their prayer, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And in the third place, the mark of true prayer, For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. The sailor's prayer in distress, the cause, the plea, and the mark. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Then our thoughts go for a moment, congregation, to the words of the psalmist of Psalm 50, where he has also testified, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And we have read that well-known history together, congregation, out of that chapter, children. It's also well-known to you, out of that portion of Jonah, how that mighty storm had been sent by the Lord. We read that in the beginning of that chapter. And we don't go so much this afternoon into the life of Jonah, more into the life of those sailors. But we have seen in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. And now that day of trouble that had come for those sailors there upon the sea. And there they had come and been led to acknowledge, we may believe, God's righteous wrath, God's majesty, also upon sin. And then not only the disobedience of Jonah, but also for themselves, we may believe there lay something of it in them. They were convinced that in the midst of that storm, God had now revealed unto them His majesty, His power, His might, His justice. And yes, it was first and foremost against Jonah. But in the midst of those fears, we see a turning also in the lives of those sailors. For in verse 5, they had there cried every man unto his God, thus his idol God, children. They were crying unto their idols, and then it became so true. They were cast everything into the sea, skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life, Job says. They cried unto their gods. And so there can come those storms in life, congregation, as a testimony also unto us, where we begin to fear the consequences because of sin. And that is, as it were, a crying unto those gods, because the heart is not right with God. And then we will cast all overboard, as it were. We will give all that we have, if we may but live. But our unreconciled state between the Lord and ourselves is no burden upon our soul. And we see in the furtherance how that they have even awoken Jonah, and they have coveted the prayers of Jonah. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us. And now, of course, it is never wrong to ask also for public prayer in the midst of the congregation. That must not be despised, congregation, in and of itself. But their need also in that time in asking Jonah to call upon his God, it was not a personal need of their own soul that had been laid upon the conscience, no. No, it was love of this earthly life and to be spared, to be placed again, as it were, upon dry land that they desired. And then it is but a drawing near with the mouth, we read in Isaiah, and an honoring with the lips, but the heart is yet so far removed. But we begin to see a change under that short sermon of Jonah. He said, I am in Hebrew, I fear the Lord, in verse 9, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid. And if we take that in the context of the furtherance, we will not read through it all. But their fear became a fear of that righteous judgment of God in light of the wrath of God upon sin there in the midst of the storm. And now, of course, that can also be only a servile fear, where it is not that true reverential fear that is now so to be discerned. And then it is not born out of love to the Lord, beloved, but then it is only a seeking to escape the punishment of the Lord. It is so to search out the heart how it is between the Lord and our soul. Because if we are only seeking to escape the punishment of the Lord, then that is without acknowledging that the justice of God must be satisfied in and through another. Then there has never come a true bowing under that righteous demand of God, where I as a sinner am placed forever outside from my sight. And whether they were all saved of those sailors, we don't know, congregation. But it seems that some of them did surely come to true conversion. But neither is that the most important. It is now for you this afternoon. That is the most important. How is it between you, the Lord, and your soul? For as we have said under that short sermon of Jonah, there they had been given to see something of God's anger upon sin in disobedience to that word also. And now Jonah spoke of those two things that they missed in the midst of that storm upon the sea. He spoke of the God of heaven which had made the sea youth. And the sea stormed, the sea was in a turmoil. The ship was like to be broken. And they needed that God of the sea that the sea could be calmed. But Jonah also spoke to them of the God of the land. Yeah, and that was that place where they desired to be. And then do you know of it spiritually, congregation? Under that hand of God's requiring justice, also for your own soul. That there the storms do rise under that righteousness of God. There that hand of God does press upon them. And they without God and without hope in the midst of the storms of this life, no God for their soul. No solid foundation under their feet for eternity. And there the depths of a watery grave, as it were opened before them in the midst of the storm. And ere that storm would cease, that righteous wrath of God must now find an answer. And those sailors had been pointed to that. But so it is, beloved, also in the heart of a sinner that is being uncovered and discovered to self. They begin to labor under that demand of God's justice. They begin to seek that way of escape. Also when it is laid before them and it is pointed to them, which direction only that righteous wrath of God can find an answer. And so they labor as those sailors did labor. And yet it was a laboring until we come into this prayer, outside of that way which God had set before them. It was a laboring outside of justice. And outside of being led into and to that only way of salvation, those souls, they shall labor. But then they feel the hand of God heavier and heavier upon their soul. Then they feel the storms and the tumults increase. Then it comes against them. And then we see Jonah also upon that ship. And Jonah is upon that ship, a type of Christ, a picture of Christ. He is a picture of that ministering servant of the Lord, willing to go in that way which his father had laid upon him. Except, of course, that Jonah truly was guilty, whereas Christ was seen as guilty in his perfect innocence in the sight of his father. But it is that picture of him who from the stillness of eternity gave forth himself to still those billows of God's wrath against sin. Sacrifice and offering, we read in Psalm 40, thou didst not desire, mine ears he could testify, thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou didst not require, lo, I come. It is a testimony of that willing servant of servants, also as Paul writes to the Corinthians, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And what would have transpired in the heart of Jonah congregation, when he has testified them under the Lord's instruction that they had to now take him up and cast him into the depths, the eternal depths of the sea, where he had to give himself into the depths of eternity. But was it not even more so for the Son of Man, the King of Kings, upon that pathway which he took through the deep way of his humiliation? Did he not testify, Father, now is my soul troubled. Save me from this hour, nevertheless. For this cause came I to this hour. And no, Jonah did not throw himself into the sea, no. No, he gave himself willingly for the life of those sailors there upon the ship. But now those sailors in the midst of that storm, we could say that very simply, congregation, those sailors in the midst of the storm, they must now lay hold of Jonah and cast him overboard. They must lay hold of Jonah by faith, believing that as he is cast overboard, so also that storm would be stilled. And Jonah in their eyes, I am a Hebrew. They had heard something of that God of the Hebrews. Although Jonah was guilty, we know that, yet as a type of Christ we see him. And in the eyes of these sailors, Jonah was one who was, as it were, morally pure and honest. And yet as that storm increased and as those sailors labored to bring now that ship to the land, Jonah knew there was no other way that that tempest would be stilled. But those sailors had to learn it also, congregation. And so it is for a sinner laboring to still under that demand of the Lord, laboring in his own self-righteousness, laboring in his deeds, perhaps laboring in his Bible readings, perhaps laboring and pinning his hope upon a repentance that has come. 'Tis a clinging to our own self-righteousness that must be opened and wherein we must be instructed. And it is in that way that a sinner does learn in truth that there is no other way than Christ and him crucified. There is no other way than that way in which God has set forth in and of himself. But those are now those painful spiritual lessons for the flesh. They are needed. Are there also such laboring souls in our midst? And that can be for the first time. That can also be by renewal. And then the Lord instructs them also into their spiritual ignorance once again. And then they seek to please the Lord in that broken covenant of works. But it must all come to nothing, congregation. And where it is the work of the Lord, it shall come to nothing. That is sure and certain. And how the waves and how the billows have pressed against those sailors there upon the ship. And how the heart also of the sinner can there be in the midst of the turmoil and the unrest. As they seek an answer for their soul and they labor in their own way to please the Lord. And had not those sailors now gone unto Jonah and said, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm?" That for the sea wrought and it was tempestuous, we read. And he had instructed them to cast him overboard. But congregation, they as it were did not understand that instruction. Shall they as such vile, sinful ones now cast him overboard whom they saw as so pure in their eyes? He who had instructed them into that way of God and into that righteousness of God under that simple servant. Shall they now take him and cast him into the midst of the sea? They who are without God and without hope in this world. And if we stop there for a moment, it is really remarkable that in the midst of that Jonah was there really as a stranger upon that ship. And yet he acknowledged that he was the cause of that storm. Yet he was a stranger, congregation, that had to be cast overboard by them. And so that instruction of that hidden prophet that is needed, that is of a necessity, that is imperative. We know that, congregation. Your minister will lay the same thing before you. But when the Lord now comes against that people to take it a step further and to bring them into the midst of the impossibility, then they are as those sailors rowing against the storm. And why now is that so needed? Imagine if now those sailors would have had success in bringing that ship to the dry land. Then they would have been saved, beloved, upon their deeds with only a knowledge of sin. And that knowledge of sin is needed. But then the price of sin would not yet be known by those sailors. And thus that is instruction not only into the knowledge of sin, but also the price of what they have done in their covenant head, Adam. And where the Lord works in truth, then that people shall end with all their righteousness, their self-righteousnesses as filthy rags. They shall never have the victory in and of themselves. But step by step the Lord shall break them down to bring them to that foundation. The Lord was against them in that storm. Do you know that in your own life? Is there one here or there? Under that righteous demand of the Lord, under that guilt upon the conscience of what one is before the Lord, the Lord against them. And then that storm in the midst of its tempest, the waves from the heights unto the very depths, that is a life spiritually that goes up and down from the heights into the depths. And there came forth those cries in the midst of their urgency and in the midst of their need, in the midst of their greatest soul's distress. We read in our text, they cried unto the Lord. We would say it comes now into that distress where for those sailors, it can no longer continue. It can no longer go forward. They can no longer row against that storm. Then that it threatens at any moment that it shall be broken apart. Wave upon wave, as it were, upon them. But it seems God is silent. It seems God is silent. Yeah, it seems God is silent. And yet the storm is against them, congregation, but they have no answer for their soul. And what do we see in that crying unto the Lord also of these sailors as they are seeking to bring that ship into land? But the Lord begins to bring them to an end. Beloved, it can be that such a one in the midst of his soul's distress is seeking, as it were, to move the Lord. That the Lord might have pity, as it were, upon a sinner. That is true. And God is a God of mercy. Oh, that is true. But congregation, there lies yet within that a seeking to move the Lord with their prayers. Then that people is at times brought into the need. And if they could, but reverently speaking, I say it, shake the Lord, that he would yet open his ear unto their cry. But the saving mercy is never outside of Christ. The saving mercy does not lie because of man, congregation. But such a one must be driven to the foundation. God moved in himself, in his eternal good pleasure to look upon a man. And then there can be such great fears also in the heart of such a one. And then those cries ascend. And they know not how to go forward. But was it not also so for those sailors upon the ship? They cried unto the Lord. And yet in that rowing, congregation, in that laboring also under the demand of the law, we do see something in there, in that it was done out of love. And they were seeking to save Jonah. Think of that for a moment. Is there one here and there who understands it also, who looks back upon the pathway? It was done out of love, but it was not yet brought to that right foundation in its cry. And thus it becomes that plea of the beggar, as we see in our second thought. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, the plea in their prayer. This poor man cried, the psalmist testifies of Psalm 34, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. To be brought into the depths of our poverty in Adam, beloved, that now is what is needed. And thus as they labored and as they wrought there to bring that ship to sea, that storm only increased and hope became dim. Do you know of such a time in your life? Hope became dim. And then the arrows come also against that spiritual life. Then I think of the psalmist of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? What questions can then arise within the soul? What riddles can then lie there? Perhaps a time that they had such a hope that the Lord had truly begun in the heart. And then the Lord's hand against them, and it seems that God is silent. Oh my God, the psalmist says, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silenced. You see, that comes now to a beseeching also in the life of these sailors. It comes to a pleading. And there is no answer from God. You say, why then do they continue to plead? Because they have no other way to turn anymore, congregation. They no longer know another way in their life. And perhaps for such a one, there is no hope with the Lord. You see, they begin to fall under it. But to whom else must they cry out? They no longer know a way. There comes a beseeching. And in that beseeching, congregation, there comes a confessing of their ignorance. And spiritually, when such a soul begins to confess their ignorance before the Lord, then there comes room in the heart for the Lord to begin to instruct those souls. That is that earnest entreating of the Lord. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I beseech thee, Lord. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Save now, the psalmist of 118 says, I beseech thee. Then that need rises within the heart unto such a height. Reverently speaking, we would say then it requires an answer. It cannot go forward without an answer. Then every way of escape from man's sight is cut off. And then it is no longer a seeking to move the Lord to mercy, as it was in that cry previously in that text. Nor is it any longer a seeking to justify themselves, but it comes now to a pleading to know the Lord's way in their life. Is there one here and there who knows of it, congregation? Perhaps one here and there who may look back upon it at a time within their life where from man's side all had to go by the wayside. And then there is only one thing left, that is to know the Lord's way in it. Let us not perish, they say. Let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood. They are so fearful to take hold of Jonah and to cast him overboard. They fear they will be guilty of murder, beloved, as they throw him over. They have no desire, as it were, to cast upon Jonah, and yet they are driven out in the necessity of for their very life's sake. And yet within it lies that great fear to take matters in their own hands. And to cast him over. If that is a taking of matters in their own hands. And for such a one to cast upon the Savior. And to take matters in their own hands. Then they fear that just punishment shall surely fall upon them. It is that unknown pathway. And then those souls, they need to be led and instructed unto that living Savior. Was that not also the case of 3,000 on the day of Pentecost? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Was that not also the case in the heart of the jailer when he testified, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Was it not also the case of a Paul when he was stopped? He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? to confess the ignorance that lies within the soul. Oh, that is not a strange work unto that living Zion here upon earth. It is a great wonder to be brought there once in our life. And not to be brought there by renewal is also that work of grace, and so they learn it. To be emptied of all from man's side, to cast upon that only foundation. It is that necessary knowledge of self-knowledge within the heart that is so missed in our day, beloved. Where you may speak to those souls, but they know not, it seems, what they are in Adam. Cast it away, congregation, for that is not the true work of the Lord. The Lord shall instruct them what they are and what they remain from man's side. And it is in that instruction in self-knowledge that that life of dependence is now learned within. That which I see not, Jeremiah said, teach thou me. And so they go forward. If I have done iniquity, I shall do no more. But what they learn, what lives within that heart. Shall you beseech the Lord, children, youth, that that uncovering work of the Spirit may enter into the heart. Those sailors upon that ship, they cannot see Jonah as guilty. No. And so also it is for one led and instructed, especially that first time. They cannot see, congregation, and they do not see how that Christ was made to be sin. That is now such a mystery for those souls. You say, do they not hear it? Yeah, they hear it 1,000 times over. They hear it 1,000 times over, and they must confess their ignorance concerning it. Faith must come in along with it, beloved, that they may be given to see, and that is at the Lord's time. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That is now that precious instruction into that necessity of the mediator and his work. They must be driven out unto that Savior, and then, congregation, then to set their hand upon him, and then to receive him by faith. Think of those sailors in the storm. The tempest became greater and greater. That power of the storm began to overwhelm them. And in that majesty and in the power of the storm, do you not think those sailors saw their utter insignificance in light of that majesty of the sea on every side? And that is no different spiritually. They see more and more their utter insignificance, that the Lord would look upon such a one. And for such a one then to lay hold upon that only sacrifice, congregation, they dare not of themselves. Then they learn that they have no hands to take, no arms to embrace, no feet to go to him, no. The Lord brings them into their impotence. And do you know now of such a time for your own soul? Is there one who walks with that question bound upon the heart, as Job testified? How then can a man be just with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Was there a time brought to an end with everything from your side? Is it your question of how that mystery of salvation must then be opened up to the soul? Jesus answered, we read in John 6, and said unto him, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. As we come to our third thought, the mark of true prayer. For Thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased Thee. But we sing first, 365, the four stanzas. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. The four stanzas of 365. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Our third thought, the mark of true prayer. And in our thoughts we see the ship, as it were, tossed in the midst of the storm. It has come in that way that the sailors beseech, as we have said in our second thought. No longer seeking to justify the Lord, themselves, no longer having any rights in self. But now we come to that mark, beloved, of a true bowing. And of course that is seen to a degree in those previous 2 points. But here, as it were, it comes to its fullness. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And then there comes a bowing, and there comes an agreement with the Lord's way therein. And then there comes a given prayer, beloved. And a given prayer is always a prayer that is wrought by the Spirit within the heart. And a given prayer will always come in agreement with God's will. It comes from above. And it returns unto God. And thus there comes a bowing under God's sovereign rule also, personally within the soul. And when there comes a bowing with God's sovereign rule within the soul, you say, then they are safe. No. And then they fall in agreement with their own righteous condemnation before the Lord. And then there is a true prayer that is given, where they are given to bow in truth under the Lord's ways. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, Paul says. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. God's children shall be instructed also for their own souls personally. How often, children of the Lord. That is now to our shame, I know that. But how much empty lip work is there not, children of the Lord, in our prayers? How often is it not form and custom? And then I hear you say it already, how seldom. How seldom is it that true prayer which is given? Oh, I know. Those prayers, they are sanctified upon the altar of that interceding high priest. But what a great difference there is in prayer that is taken, or that true prayer that is given. And then to bow under that justice of the Lord, to bow under the way of the Lord in truth as it is laid upon us. Thou, Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Then they fall in agreement with God's eternal good pleasure, congregation. And that becomes such a wonder in and of themselves. For of self they must testify. They never sought the Lord. They never sought a return unto the Lord. Of self they must testify. It goes contrary to their desires and their way in life. But thou, Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in the heavens and in the earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Or was there now a time that you fell unconditionally under the Lord? That you were given for your soul to fall to condemnation from your side? Where that is true, then help is near, beloved, even though they cannot see. Then help is near them. Then it is but a waiting also, as we have sung together, as the poet did testify of Psalter 365. For there is one who fell most perfectly, No, there was no rebellion in his heart. There was never a step astray. There was but for the joy set before him, we read. He fell perfectly under that good pleasure of his Father. Even so, Father, we read, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And in and through him a way has been opened for a rebellious people in and of themselves. For a people who no longer know the way, for a people who testify that the storm is contrary, to a people who beseech the Lord in their ignorance and have no answer for their soul, for a people who fear that the sea threatens to swallow them up and set them eternally outside, for a people who must say that that dry land there is no hope anymore for a foundation under their feet. It is a people driven out in the utter impossibility to that only foundation. Notice, Jonah did not seek to convince those souls to cast him over. No. No, that way had been held before them, but they would cast upon that way in which God had commanded them. And that way had been held before them, in which God's righteous wrath must be silenced. Jonah must go overboard, and that would only be in that way that God himself had devised, that the storm would be calmed. And so it is spiritually. To fall in agreement on God's side, then it becomes in the soul, if I perish, I perish. And then they fear it is over. And to such ones now that invitation goes forth. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To such ones that invitation is held forth. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. And then we read, they have taken up Jonah. They have cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased her raging. Then the answer, beloved, is put in the empty beggar's hand. And yes, then by faith they may appropriate it in as far as the Lord gives them light upon them. But one was sacrificed, and in the sacrifice of one who was made sin, there comes a rest between the Lord and their soul. Maybe not even seeing so much yet of that greater Jonah. And yet they are given to see something of a way outside of self. There comes a rest within the soul. Why? Because God rests in that perfect work of his Son. He rests eternally. And where that is opened, we must close now in this afternoon. Where that is opened, that becomes a humbling wonder that lays them in the dust, congregation. Then they have not many words to speak, but then they may stammer forth their gratitude unto the Lord that the ship was not dashed at sea. And we see that also in the life of these sailors, and that fruit of gratitude manifests itself. Then the sailors did not return unto their idol gods, no. But they vowed in that way of true gratitude and gave their offerings unto the Lord. For the rest we leave it for those sailors. It is now for your own soul between you and the Lord. But then there come those moments within that life, as we have said this morning, that they may testify, that they may speak, that they may see. And that is what those souls long for by moments, to testify of the righteousness of another. And Jonah was cast overboard, and the sea ceased her raging. But concern, church, amongst us, you who have seen something of Christ, but know him not yet in the full assurance thereof, concern, church, amongst us, The sea ceased her raging, but they were not yet at dry land. That journey continued. And I know we read no further of these men, that is true. But for Jonah now, for those men, Jonah was now dead. He was cast over into the sea. And the concerned church must learn that there is not a dead Savior for them, but that there is a Savior who lives for them. Then it begins to come to land. Amen. Let us close with prayer. Lord, we may seek thy countenance, the close of this afternoon hour when thou hast granted that thy word could go forth and that it may please thee to apply it to the heart by thy Spirit and to yet here and there instruct one into those mysteries of salvation. To open it, Lord, for thy striving Zion here below. That they may be given to cast the eyes upon him who has eternally stilled thy wrath as that perfect sacrifice. Remember then each one in the furtherance of this week also, that thy restraining and sustaining hand may surround and uphold us, strength may be given for the day, and that we may be kept from an unprepared and unreconciled death. Remember those also who go to a lonely home. Wilt thou become their comforter? And may we acknowledge thee for thy help. Wilt thou forgive all that was amiss in both speaking and listening? In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. We close with the singing of Psalter 375, stanzas 2 and 3. The Lord is good, his praise proclaim. Since it is pleasant, praise his name. His people for his own he takes, and his peculiar treasure makes. 2 and 3, and if necessary, we can also sing 4. Of 375. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.